talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, and we're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. In Wisconsin, well, there will be a hearing on December 30th. On whether Robin Voss, the gerrymandered speaker in the Mount Pleasant area in Racine County, among other places, the Foxconn area that he represents, should be held in contempt for disobeying a court order from Judge Valerie Bailey Wren in Dane County to turn over records of the secretive Gableman review of the 2000 election. The relief that's being asked is that he personally have to pay $2,000 a day as long as he continues to withhold these records. The judge in Dane County ordered them produced by November 19. That was 17 days ago. He hasn't done it. He's laying in the weeds. And you can't do that. Let's unpack this a little bit. I know that judge. She's a good judge, fair judge. And she looked at it. And remember, under open records, if $680,000 of taxpayer money is being spent, taxpayers have a right to know how it's spent, where it's spent. Voss said, well, I'm not reading the invoices, so therefore nobody else has to read them. Well, wrong. Wrong. Taxpayers should be able to read them. If we're paying 680 some odd grand, and by the way, that's a joke. It's going to be more than that. When they gerrymandered, and this is different from the gerrymander issue, that's a separate issue going on. But when they hired lawyers 10 years ago, it got to several million dollars and it started out real small. There are no caps on this stuff. They say, well, there's an aspirational cap. Oh, well, I aspired to win the lottery last week and it didn't work. Oh, there's an aspirational cap, is there? Well, in any event, the judge said no. Various news organizations and others have a right to see what documents you have in terms of setting this guy up, Gableman. What are his credentials? What is he doing? How's he spending his money? Who's getting his money? Whose bank account is it ending up in? Is it legitimate vendors? How can they be legitimate, frankly, when this election has been rechecked and recounted several times and the Wisconsin Supreme Court has upheld it? So what are we talking about? It's the big lie, but there's money involved in this. And money breeds the suspicion of corruption. So Valerie Bailey Wren, the judge over in Dane County, said, okay, just produce the records. We'll all look at it. We can argue about it. He hasn't even offered to produce them in camera to the judge for private review. What do I mean by that? In camera, Latin term mean in the chambers of the judge's office. There's some people who will say, judge, this is such a sensitive thing that I ask that you review it in secret without letting the other side know what it is. And then I will argue to you and the other side can argue back that you shouldn't show it to them. Now, in this case, that'd be ridiculous. This isn't exactly foreign policy stuff. This is a crooked cyber ninja. But in any event, if they even thought that was a problem, they could have brought a motion for a protective order. They didn't do it. They were lackadaisical, and she ordered that they be turned over by November 19. Now, here's the deal. Let's say that the plaintiffs had just sent them a subpoena for the records, a request for production of documents, and they didn't produce them. Then the correct way to do it is you go to the judge and get a court order. Here, apparently, they got a court order. Now, you blow off a court order. That's a very serious thing. The judges, a judge has no police force, has no army. What a judge has is the respect and the assent and the support of a community who look on the judiciary as if, as one of the three co-equal branches of government. So if they issue orders and nothing happens, they've really diminished their authority. They've diminished the public consideration of what a court is. And in this case, she can do a lot of things. Can she throw him in jail? Well, she's not going to do that. And I mean, theoretically, for contempt to your face, if he were to yell an obscenity at the judge, she can put him in jail. But otherwise, there would have to be a trial and a hearing, and that would be awkward. But she can fine them. That's very common. And she can say, all right, Mr. Voss, I fined you X dollars a day since November 19. Or, Mr. Voss, I fine you starting tomorrow if you don't produce him. And if he says, judge, okay, I'll do it, but I need a little time to copy him, so can I have a week? She'll say, sure. That's how this is done. It's going to be very interesting what this clown does, and he won't do it himself. He'll send a hireling of some sort, a lawyer, to show up and make a clown argument about what to do. If they were smart, you know what they would do? There are a lot of documents that they could produce that are inconsequential. They just are arrogant and they don't want to produce anything. If they don't produce financial information, though, they don't produce invoices. If they don't produce checks that were paid for the invoices, what accounts were they drawn on? Whose account did they go into and all that? That's a problem. That's a problem. And it's possible that the judge will impose some sanctions. Now, if she does that, they'll say, okay, we'll appeal. They'll go to the Court of Appeals for Dane County. And the court over there, I know those people, they're very unlikely to be sympathetic to overruling a trial judge who imposes sanctions for a flagrant disobedience of a production order. What they should have done, if they wanted to, is they could have appealed her order that they be produced by November 19. And the Court of Appeals might have stayed it and then listened to argument, and it could have delayed it somewhat. They did not do that, apparently. They may try to go right to the court, to the Supreme Court. That is a 4-3 court, Republican-Democrat, but Brian Hagedorn has showed a disinclination to let people simply slide by the lower courts and jump in their face immediately just because they're Republicans. The Supreme Court could very well say, no, this is a sanction imposed by a trial judge. That's worthy of some respect. Let the Court of Appeals look at it. And if they overturn it, fine. And if they don't overturn it, fine. Then you can try to come to us. And here's a little known fact. The Supreme Court doesn't really have to take anything. That is discretionary review. You have to bring a petition for review. Most cases don't get reviewed. I've argued in the Wisconsin Supreme Court a number of times. I brought a number of petitions for review. People have brought them against me. But I have brought petitions for review that have not been granted. And so have other lawyers. So who knows what's going to happen? Voss is not going to get away with this. You can't just blow off court orders and flip them off and say, I'm not going to do it. That's not how we operate. Simply not how we operate. And we'll see what happens on December 30th. Well, you remember Jonathan Ossoff. He's a terrific senator from Georgia. He beat a guy named David Perdue, the incumbent. He was helped by Donald Trump running around the state saying, don't vote in this election. It's crooked. And he resulted in putting in two Democratic senators and losing Georgia himself. Perdue's running for governor now. He wants back in the public trough. He wants a snout and all 4 feet in the public trough. And he's running against Brian Kemp, the incumbent. Now, Brian Kemp's a right-wing Republican. But his sin in their eyes was that he certified Biden's victory in Georgia. He didn't want to. He voted for Trump. But he said, well, wait a minute. This thing's been recounted by hand. You know, I can't just not do it. Raffensperger, Secretary of State, conservative Republican, refused to forge over 11,000 ballots to help Trump, which was a felony of Trump to try to do it. And Stacey Abrams is running against them as the Democrat. Trump comes out to support Perdue, saying that Kemp is a rhino, that he wouldn't forge 11,000 documents. I think Perdue's making a big mistake, and I think this helps Stacey Abrams. These two clowns are going to run against each other. Former Senator David Perdue, beaten by Ossoff, and Governor Brian Kemp, who the only reason he beat Stacey Abrams last time is because he threw a couple of hundred thousand people off the voting rolls in Atlanta. He was also the Secretary of State at the time. Perdue is missing the point. He's missing the zeitgeist here, the time goes. People don't want incumbents. Kemp could be beaten in a primary by a fresh young face, but not a hack. Not a guy who got beaten for the Senate last time and is Trump's man, Trump's servant. I don't think he beats Brian Kemp. And then I think Stacey Abrams beats whoever comes out of it. And Stacey Abrams and the Democrats are benefited from this because these clowns will fight on the other side. We're going to a break. Line's still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.